Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 31st. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm glad to be here, and it's the last day of January.
It is, if you can believe it. I can't. I cannot believe we are at the end of January, but so happy to have you with us tonight. So happy to see those joining us live in the chat. We always appreciate your contributions, and thank you to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about motivation. Kind of a topic inspired by the newsletters that Dr. Kelly has been doing lately. And Dr. Vicki, I think you said that you're going to motivate me tonight.
Oh, you're funny. I don't think you need any motivation, Michael. For the record, everybody, Michael is fostering a 5th dog, 4 of which he has on his own, but everybody's a happy family. So he has a magical knack for dogs. And they're a good pack together. You know, and so far we haven't heard any barking in the background. I shouldn't jinx this, but, you know, I'm really happy for you, Michael. Those are very lucky dogs, I tell you. So,
well, thank you very much. But it's easy work. Dogs are awesome. It's people that are tough.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I had a work day today. Yeah, people can be tough. And so speaking of which, you know, I really wanted to kind of emphasize these really great, you know, newsletters that Dr. Kelly has been sending out. And this one really piqued my curiosity and interest of what a great discussion that is, The Art of Motivation. And, of course, he's got part one up yesterday. So for those of you who receive, you know, these wonderful newsletters through email, expect part two next week, and I'm not going to, of course, you know, burst anybody's bubble here, but this is really taken from MHS M4, which is the Metaphysical Arts of Success, specifically in segment 2. So for those who are students, who've been through the program, you know what we're talking about if you took that course, and those who have yet to get there, you know, this is a really good course to take. But I'd like to, I mean, I have lots to say about motivation, trust me. But I'd like to kind of start off just reading the, you know, the first bit that Dr. Kelly has sent out. And, you know, it's very true. He says it's very interesting to study what does and does not motivate people. Some are motivated by poverty, money. Some are motivated by love, hate. Still, some find motivation by giving back to the world. Yet others are motivated by selfishly taking from the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some desire to understand and define as he does. And the truth is, it can be very difficult to really understand what motivates people. And, you know, what came to mind when I was reading this, Michael, I got to say, is when I was young and I had somewhere to go and there's a snowstorm, I don't care because I want to get to where I'm going. I would drive through a snowstorm, you know, or a rainstorm, whatever, you know, it didn't matter because I am motivated to get where I'm going. But as I got older, nothing motivates that much to leave the house when it's storming. What motivates people? I think that age has a lot to do with it. I think circumstance has a lot to do with it. How we feel about ourselves has a lot to do with it. But primarily, to me, it's what's important to you.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you had said at the outset, it varies so much from person to person. And it just depends on your personality and, you know, all of the various things about where you are at that point in your life, too, you know. And I would say the ego is a big part of that as well. It just, you know, how we define ourselves and what are we going to push ourselves to do based on that definition.
Well, you know, kind of chuckling. Dr. Zach, thanks for this, Zach. He wrote in the chat, intrinsic motivation is the best. He says, but I tend to be motivated by external factors like trophies, certifications, and diplomas. He said, occasionally I get bitten by a creative bug, and I have a writing project or an astrology project that really inspires me to move. But that stroke of genius only occurs once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
I totally get it. I totally get that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when I was going through the program, I wanted the diplomas. You know, and not only did I want the diplomas, I wanted to challenge myself, and I was motivated to understand myself better. But again, the timing was right. You know, it just kind of intersected at a really good time in my life that I wanted to self-observe and challenge myself, and I wanted good marks because nothing but good marks is because I get really upset with myself. This is an open book exam. What's my problem? Yeah. How could I get one wrong?
Yeah, and that's where, you know, the challenge of, you know, trying to excel and the ego of trying to make sure that you prove that you have that intelligence and that capability.
Yeah. And so, again, I think the timing is everything. Thanks, Dr. Edward. He said, you know, a decade and a half ago, he'd ride his bike even in the coldest days. He was motivated, but now he won't go out in 65 degrees. I think that's a hoot. Thanks for that. Thanks for that, Jerry. She says, I love the newsletters and discussions. Always inspirational. I do share them with permission and citing. And she's always motivated by kindness and the need to pass it on. I was watching a little video clip of this fellow who's an Indian guru, and he was asked if he ever gets angry. He said, nobody's worth my energy for that. And I thought,
well said.
Oh, I went, ooh, that bit really deep, you know, nobody's worth that.
Like, what do you think of the balance to emotion, like the need to feel anger sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I think anger is creative. I think if we direct it properly, we get frustrated enough, we design a new can opener, you know, and you get frustrated enough, you're going to, you know, invent something new because the others won't work for you. Many years ago, I had this car that had a glitch in the throttle, and I went to a friend. And I explained my problem. Nobody else, no mechanics could do anything. And now he's motivated. So he kind of jimmied this whole thing and recreated the gas throttle inside under the hood. Every mechanic I ever met after that to work on my vehicle said, well, we noticed there's some rigging in there, but we're not touching it. And I said, don't you dare. And he was motivated because he was also an engineer and very creative and mechanic. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those little glitches in the vehicle. But it's if you're motivated, you see, then you'll do it. Dr. Mike has, you know, said his main motivation is knowledge. I am with you on that one. I have such a curiosity. I found, though, as I've gotten older, I was actually talking to a coworker about this today, and we're both feeling really relieved when we could reach that age where we could say, I don't know, and feel okay about it.
What an evolution to get to that point in life, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know. I don't know what that is. And that was, to me, the ultimate freedom. But there's things that make me very curious. Mm-hmm. And I want to I want to learn about that. You know, it's even whether it's your own health problems. And, look, I see this a lot, too, the surrendering to I want a pill to make me better. I want a pill to make me lose weight. I want a pill to do this. Trust me, I see this a lot, Michael. And I think I understand that kind of surrender to outside, but I also, in some of these people, don't see that self-responsibility and being curious of why that's happened. Mm. You know, why did that happen? And what is going on with my body? Like, why? What is it? What would be the root cause of that? Well, and trying to, you know, kind of work, you know, some of your own things. Because, and look, I'm going to tell you, there's a couple of girls at work that have been taking Ozempic, and they're both sick, mm-hmm. vomiting. They have made no changes in their life, and they just want the pill to get smaller. Well, the thing is, when they go off of Ozempic because they didn't make any changes, mm-hmm. they're just going to gain the weight back. So that's what I mean by doing our own part and being curious, and rather than just giving away that kind of, so we're not motivated to learn more about ourselves. Right. We just want to get fixed so we can get on with our lives.
And maybe be wary of an easy answer because it kind of takes something away from the process of growth, yeah. of evolution, right?
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Zach has said, I think talking a little bit about depression and motivation is good. People have a really hard time finding motivation when they're depressed. And sometimes they're so deep into the depressed hole, nothing seems to help. Well, I classify, this is just me, Zach, I'm going to say, I classify this into two areas. To me, true depression is something biochemical. There's something physical going on that's causing something to misfire. Now, even a shock or trauma can trigger things into the brainwaves, you know, and affect the dopamine and the serotonin and so on. And I think that would be classified as kind of a depression. But for the most part, I see that people are oppressed. They feel oppressed. And when you're feeling oppressed, there's that feeling of futility, that feeling of, what can I do about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Or I just don't have any motivation to do anything. So I think we have to be really careful about what's organic and putting it into that depressed thing category versus right. the oppressed, which is more emotional, spiritual, mental. And look, the world's a very big place, Michael, and we can feel pretty crappy about things.
Sure.
And that can cause us to appear and consider ourselves to be depressed when we're just feeling oppressed.
Absolutely. And there is a lot to be said to the fact that ignorance is bliss, and we are more hyper-aware now than we ever have been before. But you said it very well. It is a complicated thing, depression,
yeah.
and anxiety too. But that's a yeah. different topic. But depression, you know, there can be many sources for it. It can be a pattern of thinking, a pattern of behavior. It can, you know, it is something that I have struggled with from time to time in my life, very much so.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. It can be, you know, chemical. It can be situational.
Yep.
It can be the feeling of oppression from the world kind of pressing in on you. And that saps your hope, and that saps your motivation, And I think motivation and hope are intrinsically linked. I think they're, you know, two sides of the same coin.
I agree. I agree totally. And I think that Jerry's saying the what's the use kind of thinking. And I think that's because the way life goes, we feel really small. And so it's that perception of the world's so enormous and so much going on, and that our little part doesn't matter. So what's the use? So if we can shift that to say, my life is important to me, you know, and what I do with my life is important to me, not in a narcissistic way, but what am I going to make my pathway? And Audra says the phrase, the struggle is real, comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Sort of, without the struggle, we don't appreciate the outcome, whatever the situation is. You know, that's absolutely true. Everyone is in a struggle of some kind, Michael. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. True.
And no exceptions. Everybody's got some kind of dilemma or challenge. And so to me, I kind of put it into two kinds of stress. One is that situational, as you mentioned, Michael, where, you know, it's something has arisen and, you know, it's like we have to find a solution and how to deal with it. It is stressful. It's legitimately, uh-oh, you know. And then there's the other that's a repeat stress, mm-hmm. something that is continual and goes on forever. And then we have to look at ourselves and say, why is that repeating? And that's something we can change in ourselves. But then most people think, well, that's just the way I am. Yeah. I can't change.
Yeah. You kind of fall into that belief, right? And belief is very powerful. If you believe something is true, you make it true through your actions. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about the other kind of associated thing with depression. A lot of times, anxiety, where sometimes maybe you're not motivated because of fear.
Yes.
Because of fear of consequences, fear of the world, fear of whatever.
And well, fear of success. What if you actually did
fear
win?
Fear of change, right? Success brings change. That's terrifying.
Oh, the pressure.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. And so all those things are very real that affect our participation in being motivated.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. All I know is if it's important to you, you do it.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, no matter how you scrape away all the other things, if you want something bad enough, you do it. And
absolutely.
You find a way.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that comes again to what you were saying earlier. You know, I think that motivation is what motivates us, what spurs that motivation is different from life stage to life stage, like we were talking about earlier. And I think it's what do you want? The reason that motivation source changes because we want different things throughout life. You know, earlier on in life, the fear of missing out, the need to be part of something, the need to socialize, to be in the group, to do whatever, motivates us to push through those obstacles. And I think that it's interesting, as we age, we learn a lot more. We become a little bit wiser. The motivations change. And I think that we need to be open to, you know, maybe different ways to motivate ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're feeling depressed, if the old sources of motivation aren't working, well, you know, can we fire up that curiosity? Can we look to challenge ourselves? Can we look to expand our knowledge? Like Dr. Mike said, can we look to do a little kindness? Like Jerry said.
Yeah. As odd as this might sound, I'm going to compare it to a little horse training video I was watching the other day, because it's very relevant. And I sent it to a friend of mine who's got a little bit of a struggle going on and trying to get out of a habit. Now, this fellow is training. A horse came to him to be trained because it tends to buck people off. It tends to get skittish all the time. So he's out on the trail. He's got his camera. He's voicing, you know, this whole thing. He said, see, she started running. He said, now I'm going to stop and I'm going to turn her. And I'm going to redirect her thinking. And as soon as we redirect her thinking, she can't get into the anxiety. And so as soon as she kind of calmed down a little bit, he could feel it, they'd start walking again. walk another, you know, quarter mile, and then she'd start to feel anxious again and start to trot. And he, oh, no. And he'd calm her down, and he'd turn her head this way, turn her head that way, to redirect her thinking. And the second day he went out, it was way better because she's calmer, and she's trusting the rider, she's trusting the experience, and she's getting out of that anxiety moment. Now, it's very hard, trust me, when you don't have somebody helping you out with this, you know, redirect your thinking. But that's what I think we as metaphysicians or even, you know, spiritual counselors can help people with, is when your mind is going forward and you're heading for a collision in your brain, redirect your thinking. So if you feel yourself getting kind of depressed, go do the dishes. If you feel yourself feeling futility again, go mow the lawn, you know, or if you don't do that, I'm going to, you know, go wipe down the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Anything to redirect the thinking, because as soon as you redirect it, it calms down.
And
now, if you're at work, though, Michael, and the anxiety comes in the workplace, sometimes there is nothing you can do mm-hmm. except redirect your thinking, not to focus on the negatives of what that is, you know. And
absolutely,
it's a tough one because you're in that situation. And I know I had it today. People were particularly difficult today. For those who don't know, I'm a part-time patient ambassador at the hospital, trying to help people out. Where do you need to go? You know, please wear a mask because we've got a lot of stuff going around these days. And I'm always shocked about how rude people are right off the get-go, first point of contact. But I keep it calm, you know, and carry on. And the longer the day went on, I found myself getting a little bit short-tempered, you know. And what I had to remember, and I got it in my head, this one coming in now is the first one coming in today. Just because I have had a long day has nothing to do with the individual coming in. They don't deserve me to be short-tempered.
Mm.
I'm having a rough time right now because I'm burning out. But they don't deserve that.
Very true.
And so I remind myself of that. Each human being that comes in the door has their own stress, their own drama. This is my job, and I have to check in with myself to say, remember, this is their first point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
You have to present that. You know, you want to fall apart later, Vicky, and go have a glass of wine, knock yourself out. But don't do that to a human being who doesn't deserve that. And that's how I redirect my stress. And I remind myself of what people deserve good things, even if they're rude, even if they're ignorant. I am not going to feed that ignorance. I can cut them short. I can be direct, and I can be in their face, and I can get to the point. But I don't have to be mean.
Well said. See? You know, it's... You know, that kind of, what's the old saying? Misery loves company. We have to kind of overcome that instinct, don't we? We have to try to be the better selves, and we don't do it for them. Like you said, we do it for us, for the type of person we are, you know, for the world that we're going to build. I like how you put that.
That's true. And that's a motivation for me. And again, that's that learning. And again, I am always learning more about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that curiosity, and I really like and appreciate what, you know, Dr. Mike said earlier about the knowledge. Well, the knowledge begins with self, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think this is why we're all here, and I know I don't need to do a sales pitch on anybody. What I appreciate the most about Dr. Kelly's body of work, whether for TFU or IMHS, is that it's one of the only programs I know of anywhere that says, look at yourself.
Very true.
Through the eyes of yourself. And that's why I have the greatest amount of respect for this program. Because if you don't know what you see, how you see it, who you are, you don't know what you're looking at.
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't know yourself and you don't know where you're at, how do you know where to go? How do you know, what you need to improve upon and how to evolve and increase your awareness?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. So to me, that's a great motivator. You know, that's is oh man, I'm cranky today. What is my problem? You know, and maybe I didn't get enough sleep. Well, okay, the mind can be directed no matter what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And I understand, you know, you can't think straight if you're in pain. You can't think straight, you know, if you kind of have to eliminate. They have to pee is what I say. But you can't think straight also if your hormones are all over the place. So everything is very organic in how we think and feel.
That's a good point.
And so it's, again, that motivation, checking in with yourself. Are you feeling really crappy today? Well, yeah, you're not going to get motivated. You maybe mm-hmm. just need a, you know, a mental health day or a day watching movies. Everybody needs that kind of day. And, you know, it's just do the very basics to get through your life and in that day. Have something to eat, you know, make some food, have a nap, and get through it.
And, you know, I think the importance of physical activity, of exercise, comes into play too. You know, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling all these pent up emotions, taking a walk, you know, you have a dog, take the dog out for a walk, you know, even just, you know, cleaning around the house, that gets you moving, that gets you doing something productive, like you were saying earlier, you know, mowing the lawn, you had said earlier, you know, all that, everything's tied together. The mind, the body, the chemicals, the thoughts, the behaviors, the patterns are all tied together. They all influence one another. There's never one cause for anything.
Oh, Dr. Mike says boredom is another motivating factor.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the best, and for better or worse. That's, you know, I used to have a saying that I said, I think boredom is the cause of some of the worst things that have happened to humanity and the best. You know, what's the old phrase about idle hands being the devil's plaything? You get into trouble, you start some stuff, and, you know, frankly, I think there's a large subset of people that create chaos because they have relatively affluent lives, and they lack meaning, and they're bored. They don't have anything to do. They want something interesting. I argue that people would much rather feel pain, would much rather have chaos, would go through strife, as opposed to just be bored. It is.
Well, I think I want to be sensitive to this one, because if you're in an environment, raised in an environment where everything is stimulated, mm-hmm. peace is a very painful experience.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is like a deal breaker. And, you know, especially, I've seen this a lot, especially in young women, you know, they've had a very crisis-oriented life, and they meet a really nice guy. He's really boring. Because he's not stimulating her, and those are the issues, right? And so people have issues about that, because peace is a painful thing if you're not going through that self-awareness that, you know, we want peace and we want to be able to manage our life, not be crisis junkies. But a lot of people don't understand that. And we have that kind of world now where everything is a stimulation. Mm-hmm. People don't have to use their imagination. They don't have to stay quiet. I mean, I used to think it was bonkers that people would spend money to go on a silent retreat. Until years later, I kind of had this epiphany that I missed the boat, because I could have been doing silent retreats and getting paid for it when people really need to learn how to be silent and in the quiet of themselves. But I agree, there are people who cause trouble to be the fixers. There's people who create crisis to be able to feel alive. And, you know, feel like, you know.
Well, and there's, you know, there's never, you know, when I say this, I don't want to take away from the rare real situations, but a lot of times you create crisis because you can farm sympathy from it. You can get attention. And, you know, look at me, look at all the troubles I'm having. And again, I don't want to say that to discourage anybody from reaching out when they are going through things, because that's a very real thing too. We don't need to do it. But I think we've also all known, you know, that narcissist, that toxic person in life that constantly creates chaos, constantly looks for the worst things in life to complain about, to, you know, they stir the pot, they create tension. And, you know, it is...
I worked with one of those women the other day, and I did everything I could to not spend very much time around her. Mm. It's the negative. And when she'd start embellishing all these problems, I could stand my ground with her, but it's too much work.
Oh, and I'd so
find
draining.
Other things to do, like go cover somebody else's break or go do this, or I find errands to run. But she's a total crisis. Everything is big and a problem, and she's loud, and it's not easy to be around. There's no question about that. You know?
Oof. Yeah. It is draining. And is it me or is gaslighting just so much more common these days? You know?
Oof. That too, yeah. I appreciate that Wendy has said that she's more of a goal-oriented individual, and Audra says she is too, and it's her short-term goal of not eating the whole bag of chips.
And a goal I have yet to accomplish.
It motivates her to leave the bag in the kitchen and walk back a couple times and only take two chips as a reward to herself. And, you know, those are, I think, that's a good one, because I've done things like that too, where nope, I'm going to discipline myself, only two.
And I walk away. Yep. It's tough sometimes. It's tough.
Yeah, you know, I know. So I guess it's all just, I'm looking forward to next week's, newsletter from Dr. Kelly, and we'll see what his 8 points are. So stay tuned, everybody. Those emails are just awesome nuggets. So,
they very much are.
Yeah.
But
I want to thank Dr. Kelly for starting to do that, too. It's a good one.
And thank you for the feedback that people have sent in so far about those newsletters. It's been heard. It is appreciated. And so thank you for that to those that have sent in feedback on them. And you know, we're going to keep an eye on them, too. We're going to talk about them from time to time, and we encourage you to read them as they come in.
Yeah. So it's that time, Michael, isn't it?
It is.
It is.
And maybe something to help motivate you tonight will be an inner oracle card from IMHS or a tarot card that Dr. Vicky pulls.
Yes.
All right. Well, is that time of the evening, let's go ahead and get started. We already have some names coming in. And
Edward, I think, is first.
Dr. Edward, am I right?
Yeah.
All right. I have number 9, empowerment.
Love it.
Wonderful. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Well, you know, it's interesting that it's empowerment, Edward, because there might be a situation here where you feel kind of powerless, too. When you get the Eight of Spades, the Eight of Swords, it's relying on your intuition. It may be a moment where, you know, that there's no decision to be made. So there has to be a stillness. And then the empowerment is in the stillness. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron in some way, but it's true that it's just a time to sit still and let some outer things happen, and you kind of tune into it and know when it is your place, and that's empowering in itself. Know to pick your spots and when to say something, do something, and we're not in this life alone, right? So. So you might feel that, but know who you are and that you'll be called into action when you know the moment. I think that's a really good message.
It is. It is. I felt that. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and Jerry. You know, Jerry, we hear you. We're glad you're back. Oh, she had fractured her femur, and she's had a couple of metal plates that she's going to set off at airports from now on. So glad to have you, and let's pick a card for Jerry.
Absolutely. Nothing's keeping her motivation down.
Nope.
Jerry, for you, I have number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe, meaning don't be judgmental. otherwise, and the relationship, regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another.
Ooh, Jerry. Okay. So, I don't get this card very often, but I got the devil, and all that means is conflict, everybody. Don't freak out. Not a real little horn guy. It's where black and white collide. It's that place of gray. And then I said, well, what's that about? And then I got the seven of clubs, that seven of wands. And I think that what this is saying, Jerry, is you might be a little protective right now of relationships, protective of yourself, protective of a relationship, feeling like maybe some aren't serving you anymore. Who is there for you? Who's not there for you? And we've all been there at certain times in our life. So this isn't exclusive to you, but it might be one of those moments in your life where you're taking an inventory about relationships. And again, maybe even being protective of a relationship that you have with someone. And that's fair enough, you know. So I think that's the message here, is as you're, you know, kind of, you know, going through this difficult time for you, for yourself, that, you know, you are kind of reevaluating some of those things. I hope that makes sense to you, Jerry. I don't mean to get too personal or deep here, but, you know, it's just one of those moments. So I want to say hang in there. Absolutely. And my sense of this is you come through the other side stronger, greater, better, and more. So.
Well said.
All right. We have Bridget. Welcome back, Bridget.
So happy to see you. And Bridget, tonight I have number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Oh, I like the two of diamonds here, Bridget. It's a balance, and learning the balance of receiving and giving, and that balance of how you're learning to feel about yourself in that balance of life and the interactions and the exchange. So I think it's just a little reminder that, you know, sometimes, Michael, when we think things are okay, but they're too good to be true.
Yep.
But it's okay. You know, something is going okay, it's okay. Other things aren't going okay, but that's okay too, because there's growing involved. So I think that gratitude for as far as you've come, Bridget, and I want you to remind yourself about that, and don't ask me why I'm saying that to you. Remind yourself how far you've come, and that look at all you've been through, and you made it, and you have all those skills, but you're here, and you're balancing it out now. And that's an awesome place to be.
She said,
I've been working on this for a while. Thank you for that feedback, Bridget. That's great.
Love the feedback.
All right, Dr. Jeff. Dr. Jeff is a character earlier. He says he's feeling motivated to go and clean up.
All right, Dr. Jeff, for you tonight, I have number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
Well, the Page of Clubs is always about changes and communication. So maybe it isn't being an open mind, you're communicating some new thoughts or some new ideas or new perceptions. It's like saying, hey, you know, I never thought of it this way before, and I want to kind of articulate a little bit, speak out. Maybe there's a new way to see this. So I think the open-mindedness with this communication card, Jeff, is a shift in seeing something new. So it could be a new idea or a new angle. some new angle you add to the picture that, you know, you're going to enter into, bring into your life somehow or in your relationship somehow. So I think this is it's just saying that this is a good, I want to see even a spiritual shift. You know, sometimes we're downloaded with ideas, guys. And we wake up one morning and we say, oh, I never thought of it that way before. So, you know, that's the kind of thing. So I think you're going through a good shift there, Jeff.
I like it. I like to hear it.
Yeah.
All right.
Kevin?
Kevin.
Yeah.
For you, I have number 42, trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Ooh, I'm kind of having a little chuckle to myself here, Kevin, because I pull out the Jack of Spades, and one of the things that it came to me is, you know, when you feel like you're really choked about somebody or choked about what they did, and you know, Michael, those moments where you say, you know, and you have to check in with your integrity. And so I thought, okay, what's this about for Kevin? So I picked another card, and it was a hoot to me. I got the Jack of Hearts. So when it's like the two sides of you right now kind of having a little conversation, Kevin. Okay, I have to calm down. This is what I'd really like to do, but I might go to jail. So, and they don't serve good food there, so not a good idea. And I think I just need to calm down and be trusting of myself that, you know, it might be a little glitch here or there, but that's those people. I don't have to play that game. I can do my own strategy and get back into yourself. And I hope that makes sense to you right now, because that's the story playing out in my mind. And we've all been there. All of us have been there, Kevin. You know, I mean, sometimes I look at people and I think, like, can't there be a cosmic 2x4 right now? Or do I really have to punch them myself? That's not a good idea. Okay, I'll just stay calm. I'll just be here.
Avoid, you know, the little food, huh?
I know the stories in my brain, right? But it entertains me. So, honestly, the things I do to entertain myself. So it's one of those moments, Kevin, but you got this. So find a new strategy is what I'm saying. Because
like
you can.
It. Anyway. All right. We have our card keeper herself, Wendy. So glad to have you, and thank you for what you do. And Wendy, for you, I have a rarely seen sequential pull. I have 43, expediency.
Ooh.
Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down and assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Well, the Queen of Diamonds. Now, that's really, it's really interesting to me, Wendy. You know, I could shift over to the work experience in your job, but then the feeling had me come home. It's like, and looking at finances, budgets, kind of putting what to where and how you're going to pay for this. And again, everybody has to do this stuff. I don't care how much money they have. And it's just that little bit of a juggle. So it's knowing when you have to go in over your head a little bit to catch up with yourself over here. But it's a very temporary thing. You know, if somebody has to go into their line of credit for a minute, but in 2 months it'll be all good again. And so I'm not saying that's what you're going to do, but it's like that. So it's looking at the finances, looking at kind of where you stand right now, and making sure that there's enough juggling. And again, I have no idea about your situation, but I'm just saying that expediency, you know, when you have to right off the top, Michael, make a really quick decision about what you're going to spend your money on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ooh, do I go here or do I go there? What's more important today? Mm-hmm. But you got this, Wendy. The Queen of Diamonds is pretty clever. She has a good insight to that, and she knows how to grow the garden.
I like it.
You got this.
A good message. Good message. Hope that connects, Wendy. All right, our last card of the evening, I believe, is Audra. And Audra, for you, I pulled in a number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
Well, you know, it seems, I get the vibe here right now, the end of January has caused a lot of people, perhaps even myself to some degree, you know, to kind of review what's going on and where we're all going. You know, a couple of little challenges here and there. And for Audra about truth, it got the Tower. And the one thing about the Tower is it has a foundation, a strong foundation. And keep that in mind as I say this, Audra. It's just how the building looks and how it's operating on top is changing. When you find out a new truth or a new idea or a new, you have an epiphany, you know, some kind of, you know, moment of, ooh, I hadn't thought about that before, and you want to change direction or add something to it or say, you know what, I used to believe that, but I think that's just, nah. I got to delete and backspace that stuff because that doesn't make sense anymore. And so you rebuild yourself in a new way. So just for the sake of it, I wanted to ask the cards, well, what's the backup to that? And I pulled the Five of Clubs. The Five of Clubs, I love this. It's that feeling liberated after there's a challenge. So if there's something that you're working through right now and trying to get to the bottom of, Audra, you're right there. You're right there, right close to it. And as soon as you cross the bridge, it's like the light bulb comes on. Mm. So hang on. I want to just say hang on to you.
Well said. I like it.
So all I think that's all for names.
I think it is.
Again, I want to thank everybody for the feedback. Most of the time I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just things that come to mind. And between you and I, Michael, you know, it's like you have the seed and I go with the story. You know, it works really well.
Well, it does. We have a good rapport. And, you know, that feedback, you're right. It helps so much. You know, like I said, I've always said I have the easy part of this. Dr. Vicky, you have the intuition and that insight. And, you know, I appreciate when we hear that it hits, even if I'm reading from the book, you know. It's always important. But
I would like to read Dr. Kevin's comment. That's all right, before we close out. Mm-hmm. And he said, and thanks for this, Kevin. I appreciate it. Tonight's cards perfectly describe a big portion of my character, which is integrity and trust. I've been challenged lately and have felt the need to withdraw my support for some fairly toxic relatives. Sometimes that's all you can do, and thanks for the insight. There are some of us in this group, Kevin, who know exactly how you feel. All you can do, and that's what Michael has done, Dr. Kelly has done, I have done, and so many others of you here, and I know in the group, is what serves to support your life. Now, if you feel like there are some people in your life who have never supported you, like you talk about toxic relatives, my thing was they never asked my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, they never asked me. And why do I feel upset or angry toward people who aren't interested in me anyway, and except how it's I serve them?
Oh, isn't that the truth? Well said.
So if you think about that, it's how I serve them and how I make them look. They're not interested in me. Yeah. So I, it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense that I would feed that.
Well,
does it hurt me in the idea of a family? Absolutely.
Sure.
Do I grieve the loss of that family? Absolutely. But these are not cool people to support my life. And my life is not poorer without them. Oh. In fact, whew, it's a breath of fresh air.
Absolutely. Remember, it has to be win-win, right?
Yeah, it does. And if you don't ask me for my opinion but still condemn me because you had this idea about me, well, we got nothing to talk about.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There you go.
Well, well said. Well, it is that time of the evening. You know, it's been a great discussion. I feel more motivated just after having this talk.
Yay.
And thank you so much, Dr. Vicki, for being here as always. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate your contributions. I love the chat. I love catching up with everybody. And I love seeing you, Dr. Vicki, every week. It is wonderful.
Well, I want to thank some folks who've come back to join us and our regulars, of course. I missed you guys. You know, when I missed one week not long ago, I missed you guys.
Well, you were missed too.
Well, it's been a great discussion. And, hey, you know, we'll figure something out for next week. And
yeah, we're gonna have some great topics. We're going to have some guests. We're going to have some folks that we're going to interview. We're going to have Dr. Kelly on again. It's going to be good. We're going to have a good 2024. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Well, as we wrap up this evening, I know that you made some great points and you had a nice message there, but any last thoughts before we sign off?
Don't let them push you around out there.
That's right. Don't let the turkeys get you down.
Just be you.
Good. Absolutely. Well, with that, I look forward to seeing everybody next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.